You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
What we're going to talk about today is stand on what you are going towards. Stand on what you're going towards. Stand on what you're going towards. See, the problem with us, all of us, is we stand and then we stay there. But a lot of times with rain and weather and conditions, the foundation that was solid originally now has cracks in the foundation. Now soil has happened and now the foundation is sinking a little bit. Now it's not as firm and structured and or leveled as it used to be. You know what I'm saying? Some of us are standing, but we don't understand we're leaning. Some of us think, oh, I heard you, Holy Spirit, stop it. Some of us think we're standing up straight until God brings a leveler. And sometimes his word has to come to level you out, to show you that you're standing, but you're not standing upright. You're not standing straight. And God says, I want you to stand, not stand on what you've been standing on. Stand on what you're going towards. Stand on what you're going towards. Stand on, this is how we've done it. I was telling the musicians earlier in my office that so many times when service is over, I'm exhausted because I share just an inward thing about their pastor, and I share that I've been praying, Lord, bring me in so I can just concentrate on what you have me to concentrate on. What people don't know, a small little detail, that I hear thoughts. I hear thoughts of people. A lot of times, I don't know who exactly it is, but when I'm in a room full of people, I can literally hear their thoughts. I can hear, and I'm looking at them, and their mouth didn't move. And I hear everything, and I feel people's feelings. And I can feel sadness, feel depression, fear rebellion. I can feel rebellion. And sometimes it's overwhelming for me. Because when I have to concentrate, when I'm in a room full of people, and now, Lord Jesus, we're streaming, now I feel and hear people I can't even see on the stream. And I have no idea who I'm talking to or what I'm feeling. And I got to hone it all in to state what God is saying. So when the service is over with, I'm exhausted. And still, I got to live my life. So I was telling him, I've been praying, Lord. Because when I was in my younger days, any sound, people drop something, whatever, it would throw me off. Now I've prayed, Lord, just let me zone in to what you want me to do here. But it's exhausting to have that level of concentration. And I can't do it the way I used to do it because that's not the success God wants me to be on in order to get his word out to the people to change their lives so they can change other people's lives. Stand on what not, you can't stand on, I tell you at the end of the year, the last 3 months, people who know, I take the last 3 months starting in September and I evaluate the whole year from September on, and I evaluate the whole year of what went well, what didn't, blah, 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 so that when January comes, I'm ready to be better than I was the previous year. But we have to learn not to stand on where we were, but to stand on where we're going. And sometimes your foundation needs to be totally knocked down. And sometimes you need a new pouring. Sometimes you need a new pouring so that your foundation can be firm, your foundation can be strong. Amen. And I want you to understand, I need you to get this. That in this shift, and I was talking to my musicians, I was telling them what I'm going to need from them moving forward for this ministry, and I'm sharing with the ministry. Don't trick yourself in thinking that you're okay if God didn't tell you you're okay, and if you didn't ask God if you're okay. Don't lie to yourself. Don't agree with the flesh. The flesh will always say it's okay and you're okay because it doesn't want to change. The flesh will always tell you you're all right when you're not, because it doesn't want you to be all right. Because if you're really all right, you're really in with the Lord. And the flesh doesn't want you to be. Hallelujah. I say this and not going to move on. We had to get our carpet cleaned Wednesday night. So we took everything out of here at Wednesday service. Thank you, Ron, and your wonderful wife, Jessie. You guys are answered prayer. Amen. You guys should have flowers and candy dropped off of your house every day. Seriously, you two are angels. I always say it at home, my family, we talk about you guys all the time, how thankful and grateful we are for you guys. And all I said to Ron is we got to take everything out of here on Wednesday because we have to get the carpet clean. We had to take every chair. We had to take speakers out. We had to take poles out. We had to take monitors out. We had to take all of this stuff. And he said, okay. Just like that. And after that, we sweated like two hogs when it was over to get everything out of there. And then Saturday, we had to put everything back together again. And all he said to me is, well, I guess I'm going to have to make sure I rehearse, you know, at home, because when I come here on Saturday morning, I'm going to have to be ready to put everything back together again. And what we didn't recognize is when we took everything out of here in the fellowship hall, We thought everything was okay until we removed everything. We thought things, maybe a little dirty, but when things were removed, you can think you're okay when everything hasn't shifted. But when God starts peeling things around you and you start looking at what you've been really in, and you find out, wow, I thought we were okay, but man, we were a mess. And when I tell you that the carpet was disgusting, and there were spots where, I'll just say, people hid things with chairs and prayed that chair would never move because they know they put spots. And the fellowship hall was just like a fraternity carpet with stains that spilt everything. And it made me recognize every week I kept seeing more stains, but I wasn't seeing people on their knees with a rag wiping the thing that they dropped or their kid dropped. And it made me realize, wow, we've been running around here free. Just somebody, we love what God is doing, but not cleaning up after ourselves. And that's what we do. Oh, I love what God's doing, but we're not taken care of. And then when things are taken away and we see the mess that we've been in, amen. So I had to tell leadership, I had to tell them, and we'll get these things on the monitors and moving forward. Your kid is not allowed to walk in that fellowship hall with any open anything. I don't want nobody running around with teas, drinks, punches, all of that stuff, juices, hot teas, none of that stuff. Or you see, if we see open container, it'll be snatched up by a leader. Because we want to take care of what God has done, not to mention how expensive it was to clean the doggone carpet in this building. Amen. And once I signed a contract to get this thing done a couple times a year, a few times a year, and I realized that the things that we're investing, it made me think of God's investment in us and how he's invested in us. And yet, we don't take care of his investment. I say he's invested in us, but we don't take care of the temple that he invested in. We all talk about we love the house of the Lord, but do we take care of the house of the Lord? Ron made sure. Now, he won't look at, and I won't say his age, but I'm going to take him to Cedar Point, and I'm going to make me some money off of Ron. I'm going to tell you right now, with the weight age game, I know I'm going to come out of there, and I'm going to, at least I'm coming out with a big teddy bear. I'm coming out with something. But he didn't say my age, Pastor, I'm too old for this or nothing. He just went right to saying okay and moving and picking up everything and getting it done. That's what God is requiring here. I won't say names, but somebody here saw me picking up keyboards and moving them, and they sat there on their phone. And I said, well, thanks for helping. That's where we are. If you can see your pastor get up taking keyboards and moving them and you do nothing, that's where your life is. I'm saying this openly to let you know a shift has taken place. If we can't honor the man that's getting the word for you and make sure that he's not working overtime to make sure that this place is clean, if we can't honor that, if we can see him, how are we honoring the God we can't see? A shift has taken place, not in this church, but in the kingdom. Stand on where you are going. Stand on what you're going towards. I want to ask you, I don't want to talk about where you've been. I don't want to talk about what you've been through. That's a therapy session. But what I do want to ask, what are you going towards? Where are you going? I'm not asking you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? What are you going towards? What are you going towards? And does it sync with the word of God and the will of God for your life? I don't want to talk about you want to make sure you have a will and your kids will live a good life. I want to talk about where you're going. Is it matching what God wants for you? Is it matching why he breathed into your body? I don't want to talk about how successful you are. I don't want to talk about if one more person talked to me about their credit rating. If one more person talked to me about some relative that I don't even like anymore based on everything you've told me. If what are we doing that's going to give him the glory? What are we doing? Okay, we want another job. Why would he give you another job if you won't tithe off the one you have? This is not the word that'll get you to run around the church and shout. And I'm not trying to get you to run around the church and shout. I'm trying to get you to sit there and hear God says, listen, I didn't just breathe on you for you to live your best life. I breathed in you for you to have the best life so you could be the example showing the world who I am through you. Your obstacles were for testimonies. Your things you went through was for testimonies. But if you never share them, how can he get the glory? So many times we're looking for clarity. However, the more that you move towards your destination, the clearer God makes it for you. God gives us a word, and this is what we do with it. We sit on it. And then we got the nerve to say, let me pray on it. And we either do two things, go get the remote control or pick up our phone and go through Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We just said, let me pray on it. Something, God gave you a word or you heard a word. Ooh, that was good. What you gonna do about it? What are you doing with it? How is it moving you forward? Hallelujah. How many times we say, ooh, that was a good word on Sunday. And on Wednesday, I say, what was the title? Oh, hold on, Pastor. Let me go to my notebook. How good was it if it's not locked in your memory? I don't want to be your friend today. Today, I want to be your shepherd. Today, I don't want you to like me. I just want you to hear me. Stand on where you're going towards. It's okay to get a new pour. It's okay to get a new pour. But stop standing on that shaky foundation that could crack at any moment, saying, I'm standing on the promises of God. You can't even hold the promises of God on that foundation that you're standing on. Your foundation isn't strong enough. I won't say any names, but some things went on last week, and some people came up to this altar. One person came up to the altar for an issue that they were dealing with, and they made a phone call this week and said, I'm a couple seconds away from drinking. And I shouted because I said, that's ministry right there. That's ministry. That's somebody who came up, said they didn't want to do it anymore, recognized they were still feeling the same feeling to do it, and then reached out to somebody that could help them. See, that's somebody who's standing on where they're going towards. Because if you say, I don't want to be like this anymore, then what are you doing to make the change? Go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. I love that. Tiff is having a birthday coming up in a couple of weeks. And she's getting old, y'all. Pray for her. Joke. Jokey joke. She's getting old. Pray for her. She's, anybody to know her, she's been old. She know I love her, and we both talk trash to each other. That's part of some things we do. She could take it, and she know I can take it. So, it's, you know, that's what we do. We talk trash to each other. But she's having a skating birthday party. Now, theoretically, I can't skate. I said, back up off me, Chelsea, okay? Theoretically, I can't skate. I said, theoretically, I can't skate, because in my mind, I can tear it up in my mind, okay? In my mind, I have moves in my head. Listen, Teresa, I'm a bad boy in my mind. In my mind, I can skate backwards on one leg. You know, in my mind, listen, I can drop it down on one leg. I can get up. And so, and I'm dangerous on the carpet. Listen. Okay. Roller skate on the carpet, I'm a bad boy. I can tear it up on the carpet. Now, getting on the rink, that's a whole different thing. But so I am preparing myself. We had the little gift things on, we were sending emails, and so she sent me this little gift of this little boy with those little, like, walkers with wheels on the thing, and she said, we're going to get one of those for me when we get there. And I told her, because I am preparing to tear it up. Yeah, I don't want no walker. I don't want to walk. I'm standing on what I'm going towards. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I can't skate. I will. Watch, before that night is over with, check me out. I'm going to have it on film. Okay? Paula, listen, you don't know me. Okay? But where do you, what my As I joke on this thing, what are we doing? What are the things that we know we can't do now? But can you visualize yourself doing it? Can you visualize yourself being a better person? Then how? Then what do you need to get better in? Not your spouse. See how I got quiet? Don't tell me what your spouse did. Tell me what you can do better. Don't tell me how bad your boss is. Tell me how you can be a better employee. And don't tell me how rough life is. Tell me how you can be a better believer. Proverbs 29. Are you there? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy as he. If you keep the law, if you keep what God has told you as truth, you'll be happy in keeping it. Keeping it. Keeping the law brings happiness. Keeping the law brings happiness. Keeping it, keeping it. I didn't say hearing the law. I didn't say write the law down. But the more you keep it, the more you keep what God told you to do, you'll become happy. Why? Because you are becoming what God wants you to be. If we keep the law, if God tells you something or give you a word and you write that down and say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to apply it, the more you apply it, the happier you become. You may not be happy when you first do it, but you will be the more you keep it. Keep it. When you got to work out, it's going to be hard at first, but the more you do it, you'll become happy with the results of that thing. Keeping the law brings the happiness. It's easy to say, I'm sorry. Keeping it means keep doing the thing so you don't have to say, I'm sorry again. The more you move towards your destination, the clearer God makes it for you. Lack of vision equals lack of prosperity. Lack of vision equals lack of prosperity. If you can't see yourself out of it, you can't see yourself prosperous. You have to see yourself. We have to stop trying to say, if that person would just do this, and we have to put the ownership on ourselves. If they would, no. Us. Are we getting this? Lack of vision. Lack of vision equals lack of prosperity. Lack of life, lack of growth, lack of focus, and also lack of expansion when we lose vision. The vision. What do you see? I want to ask a simple question. How many people see themselves as a happy individual? Okay. It was like 60-40. Okay, I said, how many people see yourself as happy? How many people in here right now you are happy? Be honest. How many people in here aren't happy? Put your hand up. No, I ain't say today. That's a double-minded person. Nope, yes it is. Because happy day, happy yesterday. Happy, it don't have to do a Monday through Saturday. Happy is greater as he that's in you. He's in the world. So I'm happy I'm happy with what God is doing in my life, even when I don't understand it. Trying to understand it will bring an emotion. I need you to get this. We go up and down when we don't understand. We go up and down when we don't agree. When you don't have to understand or agree, that emotion doesn't work anymore. You don't have a meter. That's how, when it says a double-minded man, a mind of two things. God doesn't want us to have two minds. He doesn't want us to have two thoughts. He wants us to have one thought. Now, understand. I want to break this down. I need us to get this. The Bible clearly says, be angry, but sin not. You can feel something, but not respond to what you felt. I need us to get this. We will all feel things. The difference is many are called, but the chosen are few. What you don't think, we as believers, you don't think we feel stuff. The only difference between us and you is we don't respond to what we feel. We don't speak to what we feel. I wish I had a witness to that. The problem that we have is we say what we feel. That's the problem. We speak on what we feel. We get on the phone and we find somebody and we spill the beans of what we felt, and God didn't want us to say anything on it. Why? Because we've already taught this in this church. The power of life and death is in, not the action. It's in the tongue. Are you tired? Probably. But should you say it all the time? You know why? Because if you can articulate you're tired, the devil like, oh, they tired? Oh, they tired. He didn't know you were tired. Because, see, you think the devil can read your mind. What? I keep telling y'all, y'all give him way more credit than what he deserves. The Bible says there's spiritual wickedness in high places. He's not high. He's walking the earth to and fro. Read your Bible. There's demonic forces trying to hear what's going on in heaven. He's not up there with his ear. He's down here trying to defeat us. He don't know it until you say it. He'll have spirits speaking to you. He'll have demonic things speaking. You hear it, but he doesn't know that it's penetrated you until you say something or do something based on what he said. That's what I need you to know. He's not God. He was made by God. He's not God. He does not have the abilities, God. He is not omnipresent. He's not. That's why he has to have demons everywhere, because he can't be everywhere. The fallen angels, they were kicked out of heaven. He got them all over. And then he got people on earth that will do what he want to do. He have people all over. He's not all over. You give him way too much credit. He can't read your mind. What he tries to do is alter it. That was too good. I don't have time for y'all. I don't have time. That right there is revolutionary. He tries to alter your mind. I tell you, he can't create anything. This is why he can't even create a thought in your mind. Because God is a creator. He can't create. He tries to alter. He gives you a thought and tries to alter your thought. He can't create one in your mind. He gives you circumstances and then say, what do you think about it? So you'll have a thought on what he said. He'll give a scenario and say, how do you feel? He can't give you a feeling. He tries to alter. This is why so many of us, we choose not to be happy because we say we're not happy. I'll leave that alone. If you say I'm happy, that confuses the devil when he's giving you so much to not be happy about. When you say all is well, when all hell has broken loose, that confuses the enemy. How are they saying all is well? I'm breaking literal hell in their life. I'm messing with their kids. I'm messing with their grandkids. I'm messing with their emotions. I'm messing with their job. I'm messing with their money, and their money is their God. Oops, did I say that? And they're still saying all is well. They're still saying God is good. That confuses the enemy. Why? Because he doesn't understand everything like God does. Stand on what you're going towards. Who are you going to be? Who is God making you to be now? Stand on that. Get off of the foundation of where you stood before. Get off of who knew you. Get off of what you did. If you have no intention on doing that again. Get off of what you're known for. Get on what you will be known. You know, if there wasn't, you know, in the Old Testament, they used a term, harlot. I like the word harlot. It's kind of funny to me. They named, you know, a little person, a little busybody. I'll just leave it like that. It's a harlot. You know the problem with that is? There are a whole bunch of harlots in this sanctuary right now. Old ones. Hopefully. As your pastor. Hopefully. Old ones as X. Not old as an age. Mature in the thing of harlotry. Mark that. But I need you to get. But where there's no vision, the people perish. Vision, not memory. He wants you to have vision, not memory. Vision, not memory. Don't tell me about the thoughts and the things that you did. Tell me about where God is taking you. Tell me about what God is doing in your life right now and where that is transporting you. You know Misery Loves Company? Misery loves company. God doesn't like misery because misery is the opposite of hope. God wants his children to be hopeful and happy. But can you be happy when the circumstances tell you you should not be happy? Can you say all is well when nothing looks well, feels well, sounds well? But let me ask you, but if God is still with you, how could it not be well? Is this hitting home? Oh, yeah. Listen, your marriage might suck. You may be double-minded. But is God good? Because if he's good and he's still in your life, then all is well. Why? Because you still have a chance to be everything God called you. Are we getting this? Sometimes you're not supposed to talk about it, but rather work on it until it's time for the revealing of that thing. Jesus, go to Matthew for me. Go to Matthew 17. I think with a shift, I think I'm going to have to bring my old podium back out starting Sunday. I gotta go old on this little wobbly thing. It's cute, but I need a new foundation. Yeah, I'm going to bring Old Faithful back. Amen, Val. Let's go back to some old school church, okay? We don't have time for these young bucks. Matthew 17, are you there? Matthew 17, I'm going to read real quickly. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. And he yet spoke. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save, or that word means translation, except Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. I want you to understand this particular scripture. I love it, this passage here, because Jesus basically, he showed not only himself to them, he revealed himself to them in totality, but he also gave them a glimpse of his word made flesh, like he was word made flesh when they were able to see Moses and Elias. And I want you to, sometimes God will reveal himself unto you and bring his word to life unto you. And it's for your revelation. Sometimes he'll reveal something to you. And the problem is you take what God has revealed unto you and try to share it with somebody else. And they will break down because they can't see it and they weren't included. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Has God ever shown you something, explained something to you, but it was so far-fetched that you couldn't just pick up a scripture and explain it to them and they say, oh, now I get it? that what he showed you, it was so personal, it was specifically for you. And sometimes he'll give a revelation of something and reveal that thing unto you, to your spirit, that he's literally touching your spirit, and you know, but then he'll close it up like he closed that, and now all of a sudden when they opened up their eyes, they didn't see Moses and Elias anymore. They just saw Jesus. But they knew that they saw more than what was in front of them. What I want you to know is there's more to what you can see. And God wants to get us past the earthly realm of just seeing what's in front of us. There are things he wants to show you. There are places he wants to take you. But you got to stand on what you're going toward. You got to stand on a new plateau. You have to stand on a new form. You have to tell yourself, I'm no longer going to stand there. I'm going to tell myself, I need to stand on something heavier. I need a heavier foundation because God has given me more. I need a heavier foundation because God is expecting more from me. I got a heavier expectation because God's going to put more on me. I got a heavier expectation, and I need heavier, stronger foundation because God's going to bring more unto me. God's going to bring more people to me. I need a larger foundation because more people are going to walk this thing with me because of my story. God's going to bring more people unto me. I need more space with my foundation. This used to be my foundation right here, but this was just for me. But now it's just not about me. Now God is spreading it out that I need more space. I need more people to be able to stand on this. But he's building the stability test. So right now, as he's building it, I need to make sure that I can jump on this and this can hold me. But while I'm going through things and the ups and downs, think about it. It's the foundation test. God's just making it out that he's building my foundation as I go, because more people are going to be on this thing, and he wants to be able to make sure more people can stand on this thing with me. But he only showed it to me. He only revealed it to me. And you don't need to go and tell everybody what God is showing you. You don't have to go and reveal to everybody why he said what he said unto you. You know, this morning, I was in my office finishing, going over this message, just reading it and going over it and getting it in. And I always have my left ear for Sunday school. I have my right ear just soaking this in, a message, in my left ear for Sunday school. And Charlie was on fire this morning. He was preaching old school good stuff. He was shouting. And it was blessing. It was blessing me. I was thinking, I'm saying, Lord, there was a time we didn't have Sunday school in his ministry. And I remember in a time that he came in my office and asked, could he be the Sunday school teacher? And he was expecting me to go pray on it. And I was like, dude, I've been praying on it for years. What are you talking about? Let's just get a date when we're going to do it. And we did. My point to that is, that was a decision, and you had one or two people coming. Now he's like a comedian traveling. He's packing out the place in there. But the foundation started right here. It started right here. But then as things going, it started spreading out here. What did God give you? This is going to start right here. This was built for one person. But eventually, God doesn't want you to stand alone. Eventually, anything God gives you is not for you. Anything God gives you is not for you. And that you need to know. And if you try to keep it for you, you're robbing God from the glory of what he gave you. There's nothing that he gives us for us. We're supposed to be stewards. We're supposed to be stewards. We're supposed to take care of what God has given us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I need you to get this. But if you don't have vision, you'll perish. If you're standing on old things, see, this is the problem. How can I stand over here and God's made room for all of that for me? But I refuse to make the decisions to get over there where the room is and where the expansion is. You can't get over there until you get rid of the thoughts. You can't get over there until you, if you're still talking about woe is me. You can't get over there if you're still blaming everybody and mad at everybody. You can't get over there if you're still mad at your sister. You can't get over there if you're still talking about I don't trust churches. Can't get over there if you're talking about I don't trust pastors. How can you say that I believe in God, but I don't believe in what God said? Where he said he will give them some pastors, some what? Where are my teachers? Some. See, listen. My point is, God will give us some things. But what if we say, but I don't like what God gave me? Then how can we say I believe God if I don't like what God gave and I made the decision I don't trust him, so I don't support what God gave? As we close, real quick, I got to do this one. What my time? 46 minutes. Oh, you can give me four more. Go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. We're going to go to verse 24. We there? So verse 24, we're going to do 24 through. Why do I want to go there? Okay. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, beasts of the earth, his kind, it was so. God made the beast, blah, blah, blah. 26. God said, let us make man. We already talked about us. After our likeness, we already talked about our. Let them have dominion over everything. Okay? I'm paraphrasing. Listen, we've been over these scriptures. You should know them by now. God said, let them have dominion over everything. If you can't dominate your mind, how can you dominate a season? Let them have. Let them have dominion. If you can't have dominion over your mind, what are you going to have dominion over? Because we all have stinking thinking. But if we don't address our own stinking thinking, how can we have dominion over something if we can't even have dominion over this? It's so much easier to talk ourselves out of a blessing by saying how we feel about it. We all want to be in our feelings. Talk about how we feel. I feel this way. And the worst thing we can do is to dive in on two things, what we feel or what we think. You know, we are living, we talked about last week, we're living in a society that's all about what we feel and what we think. Everybody. I can't even watch the news anymore. I can't watch anything. I mean, it's so hard now because it's about somebody's opinion. Somebody got a blog, podcast. It's all about our thoughts and our feelings. And we get stuck in that. And now everybody want to know, anybody can have an opinion and can post it. Man, I missed the days when you didn't know what everybody thought. It was such a more simpler time back then. But after 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he, him, male and female, created he, them. Am I going there? Oh, I'm going there. You know, it's interesting in this particular scripture. We live in a time that everybody is beating us down with equality. Everybody is beating us down with equality. And I told you before,
Every church is afraid to say anything, and nobody has a stance, and nobody is. Now it's sad. People that I used to listen to and blessed me when I was a young whippersnapper in a gang, I'm really saddened by all of the pastors that was a blessing to me during a time. They helped me, shaped me to see people give the word of God. But now I'm saddened by so many of them that were like mentors to me in the world, because now nobody has a stance on anything. And now they all, people that I looked up to, and they were, God used them for my gain back then. That's why I say, why do you keep trying to make everything permanent? Just because somebody were great for you don't mean they always will be. Just because somebody was a blessing to you don't mean they always will be. Just because somebody was detrimental to who you became don't mean that you got to worship the ground they walk on. Where is that in the Bible? So many of these people that I loved, I can't even listen to them anymore because they're not even soft. They will, you squeeze them, I don't even know the analogy to say. They're just beyond soft. But this whole thing when it comes to equality, now everybody's talking about equality. Now everybody's saying, and I'm going there with my 50 minutes in here. Everybody's saying, how can I say this? I want to know, when can I have I'm saved month? Where is the I'm saved month? Everybody get a month. Oh, I'm there, and we're streaming live. So I'm not scared of nobody. Come for me. Just spell my name right. And why in the month of June, my birthday month, I got to share it with Pride Month? I'm going there and I'm going to be done. So now, any TV channel I watch, on the lower right-hand corner, I got to see all the colors. I got to hear all the stories. Everybody now coming out what they are. Now they are them or they. And now, you're trying to tell me that children that's not even old enough to determine what their bedtime is can tell me what sex they are? You're going to tell me that a child is not mentally old enough to develop, to even, that can touch a stove, can tell me what they are? And this got to be forced down my throat when, if I even say the name of Jesus, I've offended you? If I even have my Bible out in the open, I'm offending you? But you can tell me that I need to accept you for who you are, but you won't accept me for who I am as a saved individual, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus? Why can't I have a I'm saved month? If I wear my Jesus shirt, I get looks, but you can show me the rainbow and I'm supposed to clap for you? That's being forced down my throat. But I can't even openly pray when I'm eating lunch without offending your lunch. In this generation, they have forced, because this, the reason why, because the enemy knows his time is coming near. So the last two generations are forceful. They are strong. This generation, you can't tell them nothing. They will tell you how it is with their lack of experience. That is a bold spirit, because the enemy knows his time is near. They have made more change in the last 10 years than anybody did in the last 100. But I still can't be saved, born again, washed in his blood without offending somebody. Where are the I'm a Christian commercials? Where is the he changed my life commercial? Where I was a heathen, but now I'm saved commercial? What What are you standing on? Are you standing? And I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed with all those that I've seen them on TV, and people try to, and now people try to trap everybody. Well, where do you stand with the issue? And all of them saying, well, you know, God loves everybody. And now all those that used to be so deep in the world, now they say, well, you know, there are things in the Bible we just don't understand. Bull crap. I need you to know that the enemy is not going to become more subtle. He's only going to be more aggressive. He's only going to be more aggressive. But are you standing on where you're going, or are you standing on where you were? Where's your vision? What do you see? And what are you standing on? What are you standing on? That same cracked pavement you've been standing on the last 20 years? Or are you willing to knock it down and get it rebuilt so it can last you for your next season that God is moving in your life? Stop putting a rug on a cracked pavement and get the thing rebuilt again. When I say that we're in our year of maturity, we've shifted. We don't want to offend anybody anymore. We don't want to talk anymore. We don't want to upset anymore and upset people anymore. In this church, a couple years ago, we had uncomfortable conversations until we learned how to become comfortable. We've lost that. We tiptoed through everything. We don't talk about anything anymore. We live in a time everybody can think what they will in their own private conversations and with their private people. Enough is enough. We say God loves everybody until we go in our own little racist groups. And we come to church and we love everybody, and then we go in our own private little groups, knowing that they just as racist as we used to be. When are we going to talk about things and move the needle? When are we going to be the beacon of light? When are we going to be there that if it needs to be talked about, it could be talked about at Breakthrough Assembly? If it needs to be dealt with, it could be dealt with love, but with the Word of God, not the washed down Word of God. Hallelujah. God still judges. Yes, he loves, but he also condemns. Where's the balance? Bless you. So as I wrap this up, I want you to, we're going there. As a church, we're going there. Where? Everywhere God sends us, we're going. We're going there. We're talking about it. What? Everything God wants us to talk about, we're going to deal with every issue, everything. Nothing is untouchable. In this church, we're breakthrough. We are breakthrough. If it needs to be broken, it's going to be broken here. If you need to get through it, you get through it here. But we're not tipping through the tulips here. If you want to stay in that sin, you will be miserable here. If you don't want it to be talked about and say, I'll just stream, we will cut off the stream. Tiff, starting in July, we will not stream the month of July. I'm not a pastor to the world. I'm a pastor to this ministry. I'm not a pastor to the peekaboos. They can play peekaboo and watches when they want at their convenience. If I got to be here at 11 to get the word, so do you. The world says COVID is over. And the way the world is acting now, COVID never existed. So it ain't about you can't come to the church no more. Because listen, I can go outside right now and they like COVID what? People don't even remember. They don't even know. They can't even spell social distances anymore. Everybody kissing each other, strangers and hugging. The bars are packed and everybody love each other all over again. So I don't want to hear the excuses. Stand on what you're going towards. But I'm going to tell you something. You won't be able to hide. We'll see if you're leaning. From this point on, we're going to see who's leaning, who's standing. We're going to see who needs to go to the chiropractor. So they can sit up straight. We'll see. It'll be noticeable. You can't hide it. Hallelujah. God wants to change lives. That's why we gave him our life, for it to be changed, not for rituals. Amen. Not for us to come and check it off that we had our religious experience for the week. God is good. 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 God is so good. He is so good. He is so good. Oh my God, he is so good. With a messed up world, God is good. Hallelujah. With things being so divided, God is so good. Because there's always a remnant in the bush. There's always a remnant in the bush. And see, that's why I said that things shouldn't make you happy or whatever. God should make you happy. If greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There should be a peace on the inside of you even when things are a mess. Even when things aren't going the way you want, greater is he. If he's in you, it's okay. If he's in you, if he's not in you, then you are a double-minded man. God is good. He's good to everybody. But so many don't recognize it, and that's their problem. And now that we've switched, it's not our job to make people recognize the goodness. It's our job to introduce them to him so they can have the opportunity to recognize his goodness. But if you won't recognize his goodness, stay by yourself, Mr. and Mrs. Misery. I'm not going to let you make me feel like he's not good to me. Every sacrifice I done made. Hallelujah. You know what you gave up. You know the sacrifices you made. Stop letting the world make you feel bad about how good God is to you. He's good. You don't recognize it, that's your problem. He gives peace. Everybody don't receive it, but he gives it because he is peace. He gives joy. Everybody doesn't receive it, so they don't operate in it. But if he gave you joy, receive it. Receive it. It's just that simple. You don't have to like everything. We certainly know we don't have to agree with everything. I watched Charlie today all of a sudden get up. He felt the Holy Spirit move. He got up with his cool walk that he think is a limp. I call it swag. And he had his gangsta lean as he had that pimp walk, and he walked on everybody. And he touched those that the Holy Spirit told him to touch, and he prayed without the understanding. I know the Holy Spirit didn't tell him exactly, 10 minutes before he did it, I'm going to want you to do this. I want you to go talk to this person, and these are the words I want you to say to them. When he got to him, he said whatever he had to say, and then he moved on without the understanding. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to be able to do. Move in what you're going towards. Stand on what you're going towards from this moment on. Let yesterday go. Concentrate on today, because today is going to prepare you for tomorrow. Today is going to prepare you for tomorrow. Hallelujah. I need to preface this by saying it's time to adjust to the shift of maturity. Mature people don't like everything, but they don't go and hide because they don't like everything. Mature people don't agree with everything, but they don't shut down because they don't agree with everything. That's what makes mature people mature. Mature people get tired, but that don't mean they go and take 3-week vacations. Amen. I wish I could be like Luke and go to Mexico every 2 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, lives will be changed. But it starts with ours. It starts with ours. If our life isn't changed, no one else's will change the way he wants it to be. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for loving me in spite of all my faults, in spite of my stubbornness, my rebellion, me thinking I know everything, my laziness, my anger issues, stuff I said I let go that I picked back up. Lord, help me stop walking in my sleep and taking everything back that I gave to you. Let me rest in your ways and your word. Let me embrace all that you have for me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.